You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today's episode is brought to you by The Bike Riders, a new film from Jeff Nichols starring Jodie Comer, Austin Butler, and Tom Hardy. Inspired by true events, The Bike Riders follows Benny, played by Austin Butler, the newest member of Midwestern motorcycle club The Vandals, led by the enigmatic Johnny, played by Tom Hardy. Critics are calling it electrifying, stunning, exhilarating, powerful, and the godfather of biker movies. Experience The Bike Riders on the big screen this summer. Now playing only in theaters. Visit BikeRidersMovie.com to get tickets now.
Okay, some people can wear too much cologne, you know?
That is true.
Yeah. And sometimes people can wear too much perfume. Mm-hmm. Here's the problem. How do you know you're one of those people?
Whether you wear cologne or perfume, or whether you wear too much.
No, you wear too much. Have you ever noticed that no matter how much you put on, you stop smelling it like 5 minutes later?
Oh, sure. Yeah, yeah. But I'm not. I definitely under cologne.
Yeah. I've been meaning to talk to you about this. No, I'm kidding.
That's why
we've done this whole show since 2015.
I'd rather be on the cautionary side than
you'd rather have less. Less is more over
yes,
here?
Yes, yes. But I'm also not, I'm not a stinky person.
No.
I mean, I haven't gone through my, I think I would, I'm self-aware
by
enough.
By now you would have heard.
Yeah, yeah. Somebody, you know, the streets would have been talking. Right? Yeah.
I feel like as a big dude, I have a little bit more worry because
you have to because people assume
right people that, but no, if there's a little bit of stank, oh, they're like, guys, oh, what a slob, and you know, immediately they go to that.
Right. Okay, well,
I just gotta figure out, how do I know I'm one of those people?
Are you even, do you wear cologne like regularly?
God damn it. I guess I'm not one of those people. Never mind. You answered the question.
You don't smell, but you also don't, like, you don't, there's not a waft of, like,
eau de
toilette.
Buddy, I'm trying. How many sprays, when you put on cologne, how many sprays do you do?
Three is probably.
Where you hit?
I go
crotch? No.
anus first, obviously. Yeah.
Yeah. I wait for the stings to finish.
No, I do neck, both sides of the neck.
So that's two.
That's two. And then I'll mix it up. I could sometimes do.
Hit the wrist. And then you dab.
It's something like.
You don't go wrist, spray.
And do the little. Yeah. You know, rub your wrist together. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Or sometimes I'll do the spray and walk
the
through
mist,
it.
The mist. You mist and you walk through the car wash.
Yeah,
occasionally.
But lately I've been doing, I'm not a cologne connoisseur.
Yeah, yeah. Are you a cologne sommelier? Okay.
After Diddy smelled cologne off of me, my life
PTSD.
Has changed.
PTSD.
My life has changed quite a bit. that's a whole other story. But I try to find scents that are not that strong, so I don't go like too crazy with it. So,
I go 1, 2, 3. So each essentially like the backside.
Okay, for
of the
audio
neck,
listeners, tell
the
them
middle.
Them.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah. I get like the back half of my necks of my sides of my neck.
Okay,
both necks.
Both necks.
Many people, you don't get two necks. Alexis, that's a chef. And then I get the middle like. What's the whole, like, your larynx, if you will, bottom of the neck,
mm-hmm.
right? And then I'll definitely go wrist, tap. And then maybe I'll do a mist.
Okay.
I walk through.
Well, please, anybody listen, give us your...
Let us know, how many spritzes you hit? Miguelito, what you doing?
Honestly, mine isn't a spray, dude. I have, like, one of the little oils, so I just rub a little on the fingers, go each side of the neck, and then the wrists as well.
Okay.
What are you, a Hebrew Israelite?
What do you mean?
You out here buying essential oils off the street?
Bro, I got some Polo Ralph Lauren or something.
Oh, I was going to say, are you just taking the samples out of like the stores? You did a little dab.
Yeah, man, the economy's tight.
I switch it up.
Bro, it's all good.
I'm thinking essential oils, man. Those are the dudes in the street who like, you know what I'm talking about? Who
yes,
that?
I do. I don't want to talk about it anymore, but yeah, I do know what you're talking about.
They try to make you drink sea moss. That's like a big thing.
I thought you were going to go in a very different direction.
No,
right?
No, I wouldn't. You can sort of make up the tail end of that conversation if you want to.
Welcome to the Cooligans, everybody. What a way too long of an introduction to talk about colognes and your cologne spray habits. Welcome to the show. Just hello. My name is Christian Polanco.
Hi, I'm Alexis Guerrero.
It's the Cooligans, buddy.
Get your fill of that in now.
We have a finite amount of it's the Cooligans buddies available. You guys may have seen the news online. If you are follow us on social media.
And also,
if you may follow Yahoo Sports, because the Cooligans are joining Yahoo Sports starting July 1st.
Yes.
So we're excited about the future of the Cooligans for us individually.
This is huge.
It's a huge, huge opportunity.
Yahoo Sports is growing like crazy.
Yeah.
When the opportunity came, it was really exciting. Just some of the stuff that they have lined up for us and we have lined up for you guys is going to be so dope. It's really exciting to see where the future of this whole thing is heading, you know?
Exactly. I know.
You're wearing a shirt that says Summer of Soccer.
Yeah.
It's going to be the Summer of Soccer for like four summers in a row. Just not stopping, man.
Okay. We call it Hot Boy Summer Soccer.
Yeah, bro. So. The city girls are down bad, bro.
Okay, so it's going to be crazy. So... On the precipice of Copa America, Euros,
FIFA Club World Cup,
regular World Cup,
the official World Cup,
okay, the Women's World Cup, everything's happening. So
not happening in the U.S., but still happening in the next year.
So the
we're talking 4 years in a row of major summer competitions, and then it keeps going because the year after that, another Euros.
Exactly. So look, so there's a lot to look forward to, and just to give you guys just a quick heads up. Of like what the future is going to look like. It's really not going to look much different, compared to sort of what we're doing now. Obviously, I'll get into the cons in a moment, but I just want to focus on the positives. Obviously,
just a group of Turkish dudes back there called the cons.
Okay, look, our staff is going to look very different. So
the hair is going to be impeccable.
So there's really a lot of promise and a lot to look forward to, and we've already had a lot of conversations and met a lot of people on the Yahoo team, and we're really, really excited about the future.
They built that hub with one football. That's going to be so awesome being a part of that.
Yeah. You'll see more and more details about that stuff and that whole partnership. So we're really, really excited about the future, especially since there's a lot of big tournaments coming up and a World Cup, in the U.S., Mexico, and Canada. So,
let's talk about one of the first changes people are probably going to notice. Is that you're going to put on the Vinicius Jr. fake dreads.
That's right. Yeah. I saw them, and I was like, I need those.
It's not just Dele Alli.
it's jarring.
Yeah, it's uncomfortable. Okay. Also, they look fake.
They look super,
Vinny,
fake.
You got too much money to be on Temu, man. Buying hair on Temu.
Temu, bro.
Doug, they look so bad. They don't even look like real hair. You have so much money, you can find someone with dreads and say, cut them off.
Give me them right now.
I want to put them on. You're so beloved, they'll do it for free.
Those dreads are mine now.
Yo, and they'd be like, yes, sir. So what are you doing?
So there are going to be a couple changes. That might be one of them. But obviously...
Then I'm getting the Vinicius Jr. fake dread. Explain that one to my mother.
So, look, a lot to look forward to, and we're obviously very excited. But yes, that does mean that our relationship and partnership with Meadowlark Media ends, the day before July 1st.
Yeah.
So that is the thing that's obviously bittersweet. It's we've obviously built a lot of relationships, and it's just been and being at Meadowlark is also another great opportunity. And we'll take more time to talk about that in particular. We have for the rest of the month. We're still here at Meadowlark and DraftKings, and we're still doing our thing. So none of that is going to change. Obviously, we have to address that Miguelito, our producer, will most likely not be our producer.
Which is heartbreaking to us.
I don't know exactly what it sort of means. We're still figuring out what that relationship will be because he's
forever the homie.
Forever,
let's get that out right there.
Doubt.
Appreciate you guys. Appreciate you guys.
Yeah. So that is really the hardest part of all of this is that Mike has been just unbelievable.
And, a champion of the concept, a champion of the show itself, someone who poured themselves with. And these are flowers that don't need to be given because you guys can hear and tell how much we care. But to literally put into words just how amazing it is to find someone who cares about this thing as much as we do and pours their heart and soul into it. And, you know, the victories that we've had throughout the last, you know, what year it's been since you've been a part of the show?
Year and a half almost.
Year and a half. The victories that we've had in those moments, those small victories from like the first time a video popped or, you know, a thumbnail worked or something else, like those little things, we celebrated it just, he celebrated just as hard as we did. And Mike, thank you for caring more than anything else. Thank you for how much you've given a fuck about this show. And I know now you have to bleep that out, so I'm sorry to give you extra work.
Okay. I'm not taking notes, so don't worry. I got the time.
We've all had these conversations off air as well. We just want to let the crowd know because, you know, the Cooligans has also become where Miguelito is a part of it. And people appreciate your voice and your contributions and then all the other stuff behind the scenes that, you know, nobody's harder working that we've had and bring on board to this show. So I appreciate that.
And like, obviously, like you said, there's still some stuff to figure out. So like you said, I obviously won't be doing as much as I am now, but if there's any way I can help, you know, I would love to do that. We've talked about that. So we'll see what happens. But and I can say too, you know, it's been a real pleasure being your guys, you know, full-time producer for almost a year and a half now. It's been the coolest job I've ever had. And, you know, especially this last week with Christian, at TST was incredible and unforgettable for me. So I can't thank you guys enough. Well, and I can't also express how happy I am for you guys. That, you know, you guys are getting this opportunity at Yahoo. I think it's going to be really big for you, really big for the show. And hopefully some point in the future, whether right after you leave or maybe some point down the line, we reconnect and we'll see what happens in the future. But again, this has been the coolest job ever.
We shall see. Yeah, dude.
Can't wait till we pull up and Miguelito got a yacht in Miami. He's like, welcome, man. Come on the yacht. And we're like, where did you get the accent, bro?
I'll be like, have you guys seen that SNL skit with Ryan Gosling? He was like, para mi, mami.
Yeah, dude. All right, man. Look, we're all gonna come out of this better than in the past. So we're excited about the future for all of us, man. I mean, again, you don't find people that work as hard as Miguelito and don't find success either. So
appreciate you guys saying that. Means a lot.
I'll
tell you where you don't find them at ice cream shops, man. The one I went to yesterday, I was like, I asked to try one flavor. I'm so sorry I've put you out.
Sound the alarm. Yeah.
It looked at me like I asked to see paperwork. You know what I mean? I'm like, what the hell's going on?
So like I said, up until July 1st, we're here at Meadowlark still doing our thing. So let's just keep it going. We still have a lot to focus on, a lot to celebrate. A lot to discuss. And today,
the other big news is the USA, are they back?
The USA is back. Last week, they were down bad.
They were down bad. They were not back. They were out.
They were out of it. They were done. They were like Greg Berhalter. Why did we bring him back?
Yeah.
And then now, all of a sudden, against Brazil, one of the. What's Brazil ranked?
Four?
Well, I thought they were like maybe.
In the FIFA rankings?
FIFA rankings. Five. We're only six above them?
Behind them, no?
Behind them. Oh, yeah, this was the top 100.
This was so frustrating.
Thank God. Morning funny.
Guys, thank God that's over. I didn't take that thing seriously at all. I honestly put all Arsenal players in the first 10 and then got in trouble for it. I was just trying to help out my boys get the higher rankings.
I get it. So, but FIFA, they're fifth ranked, and they
lost four straight World Cup qualifying matches. They had a caretaker manager in Geniz, who also was the manager of Flamengo.
Uh-huh.
So that wasn't working out. But Flamengo.
Flamengo
is a different.
That's why they think the logo on the Inter Miami badges is a Flamingo.
It really should have been Flamingos, by the way. No one knows what a heron is, dude. So look, they've certainly not been good. But I would say this was A and a half squad, right? Mostly the A squad. I would say 90% the A squad.
It's hard to say because I look at with the Brazil, I'm like, I'm terrified of this B-minus squad.
Yo,
I'm
the
like,
C this squad is, looks the C like squad they'll hurt you.
Still makes me feel a little intimidated.
But, yo, the B squad beat the crap out of Mexico. I mean, granted, it was 3-2, but they were up 2-0 before they stopped playing, and then Mexico came back, and then they won it in the last second. So this was 10 different. The only person that played in that Mexico match was Alisson Becker.
Yeah.
This was 10. The outfield was completely different. So this was a team ready to go, relaxed, comfortable, rested, ready to go. And yet the U.S. kind of did their thing.
Yeah. The one thing I was kind of surprised at is it took the Matt Turner mistake for like a really, really great chance to come up. There weren't that many. I mean, also, Matt Turner had to make unbelievable saves.
But he did.
He did. He did.
He did. He showed he's a great shot stopper.
Yeah.
Ain't that comfortable with the ball at his feet. The shot stopper.
Because this game, you think about it, I'm like, it could have been 1-0, a victory for the U.S. if Turner just hits the ball a little further.
Seemingly the rest of the team was prepared for him to play it out of the back.
Yeah.
And then he kind of launches it. So, yeah, it could have been a 1-0 victory, but also could have been a 2-1 if Christian Pulisic, that shot that kind of goes diagonally towards the far post, is just a little bit to the left. Granted, we could say that about anything.
Right.
But that free kick was absolutely incredible.
Yeah. A lot of people give credit to Pulisic for the shot, but also it was the deception. Who was it? Tim Weah?
It was like a whole line of people running the other way.
It was two players that I think it was Weah and somebody else that ran to the left. Mm-hmm. Allison's right, and
no, ran to Allison's left.
No. His right hand. He couldn't stop it with his right. It was left of Pulisic, left post, but right arm of Becker, of Allison Becker. That's where the shot went.
That's correct. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Left of Pulisic.
Left of Pulisic. Yes. Right to the right of Allison, because he's.
But the players ran to Allison's left arm.
They ran to Allison's right arm. So the wall is in front. We got to get a photo or something.
Why don't you just play the goal here without flipping the camera to it? Because I'm pretty sure I'm right.
Which means I'm 100% wrong. let me pull it up. So he is essentially okay. We're looking at it. So yeah, that's Allison's right arm.
Okay, yeah, they did run the other.
They ran to Allison's right.
Yes,
and
like I said, I was 100% sure I was right, which meant I was wrong. So I'm still right.
It is. I believe it's Weah and Musa.
Maybe Musa.
I can't tell, but on the angle that we're looking at, this is just a great. I can show the still. This is just a great play because it's really the players running and blocking the view for just a millisecond.
But also, he sees something that makes him start to go left.
Yeah.
And then he has to correct back right, which is literally the amount of space needed for that ball to sneak in. If you notice, see how he kind of went a little bit left right there?
Yeah, yeah.
Now he has to dive to the right.
Yeah. And it's just this is a clearly, from the training ground, this is a great play, man. I was
set piece coaches, bro. We need more set piece coaches.
Hire us as set piece coaches.
We'll
come up with some wacky ideas. All right?
Do the running, man, dude. Okay. I'm telling you.
Hey, get Matt Turner up here. Why don't we have him all the way back there? Get him involved.
Tim Weah, why are you not moonwalking? Okay. Have you not read the synopsis?
Okay. Do the Glorilla dance. Right. top. What? Let's go.
Damn it, Tim Ream. JoJo Siwa. Now. Now.
Why not?
With that dumb shit.
Let's do the. That's a good set piece.
That's a great distraction.
The JoJo Siwa, the stop, and then
this joint, and then she did a couple karate joints.
Let's go.
Bro, man, me and you, bro. We got this, bro.
Well, who was the coach or somebody that was upset that they were hiring our set piece? What was this, Pochettino?
No. It was Ange Postecoglou. Remember, he was like, I don't want no.
Yeah.
And then Pochettino, they brought in a set piece coach. Pochettino's like, I can't work this way. I'm out of Chelsea.
See, this is, they're thinking, in, you know, we're
the
thinking.
Antiquated.
Antiquated, bro. They're not thinking in the future.
I want my set piece coach to walk in 5, 6, 7, 8. You know what I want? Remember that lady with the short black hair? She's like, this is hip hop.
Exactly. Bang. This is the hip hop.
Bang. Bang. Get in here, bro.
We need.
Yeah.
We need. We're near Broadway. Let's get a you know,
Fosse, Lindsay,
a dance coordinator.
I need to see a center back hit you with them jazz hands.
Okay, we need choreography.
Facts.
So this is what it kind of felt like, right? Because we're looking at it now, and but the timing of it is what's so impressive, because Pulisic, as soon as he is on the run up, and we're looking. Look, I mean, this is the view that's impeded right there. We're looking at it here, and my favorite part also is it Rodrigo that's on the ground?
Yeah.
It's just like, bro, get up. You look stupid, dog. You looking dumb.
Fam, they don't need you at all.
Why are you when you watch the video and you see him get up, he's like, oh, man, what am I doing out here?
I dirty my jersey for nothing.
I love it's just from the U.S.'s perspective.
Yo, everyone, even the wall, busy work, bro.
Busy, it's just
like, we ain't even going to you, dog.
Have fun over there.
Yeah, if I were y'all, talk to each other. Talk amongst yourself.
It reminds me. Remember the penalty that Virgil van Dijk took against this was in like an FA Cup final. I think it was Liverpool.
It was against Kepa.
Against Chelsea. Remember where Kepa was like hugging the post?
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, you're not good. I dare you to go.
Wait, what? Already in the net? Behind me.
My man was already like literally. Like Virgil van Dijk was like, this is exactly where I'm going to hit it to you. Where you're standing.
Did I tell you to stand there? Did I maybe say that out loud?
Are you watching film?
Yeah.
Because you're really getting ahead of this, but it's not going to work out for you. And that's kind of what it felt like watching this, man. This was just a great set piece. And from
which, by the way, should have been a penalty. The foul literally happened while Christian Pulisic's foot was on the line. That's a penalty. But he treated it like a penalty.
I was surprised they had VAR in a friendly.
Yeah, it got checked.
Yeah. So it was surprising. But more than anything.
Thank God they got VAR though, because Chris Richards. They're trying to do him dirty.
Yeah. No, it was great. I mean, he got the yellow, but it got overturned, which was I saw Christina. It got rescinded. Yeah. I saw Christina Uncle sort of talk about that, because you're not supposed to rescind or overturn yellow cards, but so apparently this is like a thing.
No, but they checked it to make sure it wasn't a red.
Yes. Yeah,
so, and then in checking that, they were like, I should wouldn't even have fouled.
Yeah, which is interesting that I didn't even know that was a thing that they could even do.
Yeah, he hit him with the yo, that's my bad.
I didn't mean all that. Yo, let's get this. It's in the past.
Honestly,
babe.
I didn't eat. And you know how I get when I don't eat. You know what I mean?
I'm just hangry. Yo. You see how fast Vinicius runs, bro?
I've been chasing this damn dude all day.
His braids are everywhere. I can't stop looking at
that
them.
That got nothing to do with you. I had a bad day at work. The ball's right in my ass.
It's just distracting.
Howard Webb won't stop texting. You know.
So the not only obviously this play, but the overall game, especially in the second half, the playing out of the back, which is like always feels like too risky. Like us Americans, we can't do that. We don't know what we're doing.
Yeah.
We just boot the ball and get Brian McBride on the end of it, right? Like that's been our strategy for
so long.
He'll
chase it down 30 times to score one goal.
So, but there were so many moments where Brazil had their high press, and it just Tim Ream. Dog, after having the game against Colombia, I was like, Tim Ream is, my man is like looking like Ronaldinho on a futsal court.
Yo, you could see why Pep said to him, like, if you wasn't 34, you'd be on Manchester City. You could see why. He was so composed on the ball. He'd get the ball, he'd turn, like Busquets, turn out of pressure.
Yeah, he gave him the hips.
Yo.
Showed the hips one direction. He's like, nah, bro, I'm going.
In his head. You know what I mean? Hit him with the hips.
He was in Orlando playing against Brazil. Yeah. Samba here, samba there.
Right? He said, Joga, and last name Bonito. pleasure to meet y'all. Reminho. he would turn out of pressure and he would break lines with passes. And Pep Guardiola a long time ago said, and every time I think about it, I look into it, and he's right. Seems like he knows what he's talking about. That if you're not scoring or if you're not getting opportunities in the attack, talk to me about what's going on defending, right? And if the game of football, if your front line can't be too far from your back line, and you need to be compressed and you need to play together and you need to tighten up spaces if you're not being effective defending wise, if you don't have an easy time defending, you're going to drop people back to help out, and then you're not going to be able to attack so efficiently. Yeah, you're not going to be able to attack so well. And you saw how much more available opportunities we had, or opportunities to create opportunities we had, because not that many opportunities did come our way, but you saw how much more fluid we looked in transitioning into the attack simply because Tim Ream could turn, pass, and put someone like a Yunus Musa or a Weston McKennie in a good spot to make something happen.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so different.
It's just I was.
He cannot be our starting center back in the World Cup, though, right?
It was one of those things where, like, I don't know how many center backs in men's national team history that we've had that have been that poised with the ball.
None.
Nobody really comes to mind. I mean,
no, I can't think of any that are not just bruisers.
Yeah, yeah. We've had athletic players.
We've had guys that can run the flanks and hit crosses. Yeah, we've had all that.
Good passers.
We've never had someone that could step into a central midfield with the ball at their front and not be completely shook.
Exactly, because you saw there were a couple moments where Rodrigo or Vinicius runs at Tim Ream and he just taps the ball in he just exactly knows mm-hmm. where the defender might be going.
He was putting
the ball just slightly away. I loved the, you know, normally when a center backs do this a lot, and you know, the play that comes to mind is Maxime Cheneau when he was at NYCFC. Not deceiving where he might pass the ball.
Yeah.
And then sort of say the ball's in front of him, but taking, let's say the ball is at his left foot, and it's hard to sort of describe this, but like putting your left foot behind your right foot and then run, like starting to run. So it sort of just looks like you're running in a different direction, but you put your left foot behind your right foot and then run towards the ball and go in the direction wherever like you sort of hit the ball. But Tim Ream was doing something that is a little riskier, but he can deceive defenders a little bit better. Yeah. He was doing sort of the same thing, but instead he was hitting the ball in the direction with his sort of plant foot, mm-hmm. with his left foot. So instead of running with the ball, like hitting the ball with the foot that you're about to take your next step with, which is what a lot of defenders tend to do because they're already on the run.
Yeah, and building and momentum.
Exactly. Ream plays a little bit like a almost like a winger a little bit. Like he hits the ball with the outside of his foot away from the pressure, and it's just it is not like, you know, it's not like prime Zidane. It's not
for
a defender, an American defender, to do that.
That's the point we're making here. Yeah. It's a 35-year-old American defender.
And it's like, bro, and it's working all the time. Yeah. He really wasn't under any tremendous pressure.
He also shuffles the ball slightly in the one direction. Like if old video games where you played chess and you had the queen, all the squares around her lit up.
Yeah.
Because you can go into any of them. Straight, the two diagonals, east to west, south, and the two diagonals on the other side. He taps the ball in the one direction furthest away from everyone else, and then it gives him time to scan.
Yeah, yeah.
That little boop, you know, of the ball is, I'm like, when did you pick that up? which round of the last Fulham season did you pick that up?
Yeah.
Because I didn't know you had that. Certainly didn't do that against Colombia, you know?
Yeah, I think look, they cleaned up the mistakes from Colombia. I think everybody made better decisions, completed the passes they needed to complete. You know, I'm still a little concerned up top. I mean, I think Pepe did an okay job. I thought Balogun did okay, but it's just like it's hard to incorporate our strikers in matches. We can go back to the World Cup.
But I think Pepe did something Balogun hasn't done, which kind of makes me think Pepe should be the number one striker right now.
Okay,
and you know how much of a fan of Balogun I am, but Balogun sits there and waits for service, and if he doesn't get it, maybe he, you know, puts a little pressure on the center back. He starts trying to create more space. Pepe got deeper into the midfield and said, all right, I'll come to the ball then.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're not going to give me that, or I'll make a run deep in a spot, pull a defender out to give Christian Pulisic or give McKennie a bit more space,
sure.
or to give Tim Weah when he was cutting in a bit more space. He was doing those things that affected the play more, I think, than what Balogun was doing. And I think you saw when Balogun came in, again, graceful, a star striker if he gets the opportunities. Not getting the opportunities, he gets the ball, he passes it to nobody. He passed it off out of bounds. Like little moments like that where I'm like, all right, yeah, maybe there's something more going on.
There's not too many moments to even come by. So like they have to be, you have to do the most with them.
Charlie always says, like, I asked him about like, what do you do as a striker in those moments in a game where you're just not involved because the team is playing so defensive? You can't just go back there and become another six or an eight. And he goes, no. He's like, you get in and be like, yo, pass me the ball. And then you pass it back. But, like, you've touched the ball with your foot. Like, you're more a part of the game. You start to involve yourself in the game a little more.
Yeah.
Find those little moments to become just a little bit more involved. And I got to be honest, Balogun was not doing that. Certainly not as much as what I saw Pepe. It's a part of Pepe's game.
Sure.
So he was just more prepared to do that.
And I thought Pepe was great also defending. He was in the, like, when they were, it's like 11 behind the ball, he was there. He was trying to double team Vinicius at times. So I thought the strategy was pretty good. And then also, what I was surprised at in the second half, I was surprised the game was so open. There were chances on both sides.
Yeah.
Brendan Aaronson has that great chance.
Brendan Aaronson almost won the game.
Exactly. And there was another chance. Who was it? That had a
Pulisic had that diagonal.
Diagonal. But there was another one that Alisson stopped. I forgot who took the shot.
I mean, we didn't even talk about Yunus Musa's banging it off the post off of Alisson's back in the fourth minute, I think.
Right.
Fourth or fifth minute.
So it was a huge improvement. I mean, from after the game against Colombia.
Joe Scally also, let's give him some flowers.
I was going to say, give the homie Joe Scally.
Yeah,
he had his pocket pro, he had his keys, his wallet, and Junior. It was crazy.
He had one of the fake dreads. He was like, I think you got one of them dreads. Yeah, this is made in Mongolia.
Can I put it on me? Instead of trading jerseys, can we just do one of these?
100% donkey, bro. Why are you wearing this, bro? You got money. But Joe Scally, I will say, the right-hand side, to me, provided near nothing. There were so many moments. I would say there was like 2-3 moments I can think of right now off the top of my mind where the right-hand side was maybe influential in the way or was creating opportunities. But Joe Scally, man, once he takes that second step forward, he's lost. He's out. He's out of his zone, which is fine because he is a great defender, and I think you saw that. I think you saw him be a very good defender. Gio Reyna, again, seemed a bit more defensive, not really locked in the position. Tim Weah, effective, but when given opportunities, man, a lot of times on the right-hand side, we were dribbling directly at defenders and losing the ball. And it's like those are those moments where clearly we're overloading on the left, so you're going to be left a little bit on an island. If you're Gio Reyna, Musa's pulled back, Gio Reyna slides into the midfield a little bit more centrally. Tim Weah kind of hitting up those half spaces. If you're going to get the ball, if you're Gio Reyna and you're that defensive, maybe it's shuttle it back to the center. Maybe it's shuttle it back to the left. Because in those moments where you were clearly, Tim Weah is so good at finding space and he was just left out there alone. And then he's trying to take on two defenders on his own. It's just not as, that part wasn't as fluid as what I would expect. But again, when you're playing a 4-3-3 and you want to overload one side, you're going to have a lot of time and space on that other, on the weaker side.
Yeah.
And I need you to do something more with that, whoever's on that side.
Yeah, they had I think Scally did great. I think defensively the team was pretty good. Still, 25 shots is a lot.
That's a lot.
It's a lot.
And, yo, Greg Berhalter kind of, pretty ballsy to not make any defensive changes, really.
Sure. Shaq Moore came in for Scally.
No, I meant to starting.
Oh, okay. Got it. Yeah.
Because Colombia was bad. I mean, I would have been like, yeah, we're making a lot of changes.
But I think, look, I mean, we're looking at the possession numbers, 61-39. It's not that bad. Against Brazil, you would sort of expect, like, that's why a lot of the build out of the back, and there were just like strong moments of like, two and a half minutes. Yeah. Holding on to the ball.
70th minute, we're cutting.
Brazil could.
Yeah, there was moments where we were like, are we Brazil?
Are we representing the wrong country?
Yeah, we might have swapped sides.
We might all be Brazil, I think.
Oh, no. There
might be 22 Brazilian players out here. and so it was it was genuinely impressive. I like the composure, and again, outside of like Matt Turner's error, and it was also Matt Turner's error, but nobody really, like, Yunus Musa sort of didn't close in.
He threw his hands up and just kind of watched what happened next.
Yeah, so it was just that part of it was disappointing. But outside of that, it's like, you know, if the U.S. is playing against Brazil, there's going to be, our goalkeeper is going to have to step up. We sort of expect that. But I didn't expect the offense to play as well as they did, and I hate the narrative of that's a little bit of oh, this is not Brazil's strongest team, or Brazil, they haven't been that great recently. And it's just, and like, if they would have won, you're not saying that this is not Brazil's best team. You would say this ain't Brazil's best team, and U.S. can't even whatever.
So it literally took them to the last kick of the game for a lesser squad than this to beat Mexico.
Right, right.
So I don't want to hear that. Anytime the U.S. even competes with Brazil, especially when there are A squad players in the match, mostly A squad players, mm-hmm. I don't want to hear. I don't care where Brazil is as a footballing nation at that moment. They're always going to be so full of intense talent
yeah.
that from point A to point B, they're going to be better than us.
Yeah, yeah.
Just on paper. It takes a committed and a composed squad to compete with them, and that's what you saw. And we asked for a bit of a lick back. We asked, yo, go out there and give us something on this match that we didn't see against Colombia. Prove to us that we deserve to be that we should be, that you deserve for us to follow you into the Copa America and to root for you and to cheer yeah. for you and not just feel down. And they did that. They literally did that.
Yeah, it was impressive. I think the and also I gotta. I'm going to credit U.S. Soccer for the first time in scheduling okay. these two. Not for the first time, but you know what I mean. It's just yeah. We exaggerate on the show sometimes. But
oh, yeah.
but the fact that they scheduled these two friendlies, right, against Colombia and Brazil. And then the Brazil, and you know, one in Maryland and one in Orlando.
Which Brazil, is Little Brazil.
Little Brazil. Yeah. So you schedule a friendly in Orlando, which yeah. is basically a very large yeah. Brazilian community.
It's the Epcot Brazil, the whole of Orlando is
there. Exactly. So clearly the intention was, let's put these guys in the most difficult environment they could be
no
in.
No home games.
No home games. Yeah. And we know Copa America is going to be somewhat similar. Mm-hmm. There might be some more favorable matchups depending yeah. on where they're playing.
You heard they're going to play the Dominican Republic team on Dykeman.
On Dykeman. See, you, if you do that, you're not winning. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're not. Yeah.
In Washington Heights, bro.
Bro, it's going to be crazy.
Okay.
There's going to be Uber car parking. There's going to be chimney trucks on the sideline of the pitch.
I feel
How
for
many
you.
Hookahs in the stands?
I feel for you, USMNT. But yeah. you ain't getting points out of this one.
You're not winning.
So the fact that they scheduled these two, and yes, the game against Colombia was a slap in the face.
Mm-hmm.
But this is how you
respond.
Not yeah. only you respond, but this is how you prep for a tournament like this.
Also, Brazil might be facing the U.S. if the U.S. finished the group second
uh-huh.
under Uruguay. Odds are Brazil's going to top their group. This is who we're going to play.
Exactly. Okay.
And look at how lackluster they played against us.
And we're going to beat them again 1-1.
Facts, bro.
Okay.
We stay winning out here, dog.
All day.
Damn, put 3 points in our pocket.
Okay. So, I love it. I mean, this was an exciting result. This apparently, USA-Brazil on the men's side has never ended in a draw ever.
No, so and we've also never beat them. And we were one shot from Brendan Aaronson or Yunus Musa's ball bouncing off of Alisson Becker's back a little bit harder.
Yeah, Alisson, I mean, we talk about Matt Turner having a good game. Alisson had an unbelievable game.
Jesus Christ.
He had to make he made some stops where I was just like, what?
Why is he so good?
Why are you so good at this, dog? Why can't the U.S. build another Alisson Becker?
I'm saying.
Alisson Beckman.
Yeah.
Okay, that's
you literally could just keep his name, though. Becker.
Becker, yeah.
It's Beckerman.
We have an Alisson Becker there, the actress. That was on.
Yo, put her in gold, dog. What are we waiting for, bro?
What show was it? She was on like a CBS like crime show or something.
I don't know who you're talking about.
I'll look this up. Alison Becker. She's been in a bunch of movies. She's
like 65 years old.
No, she's young.
Oh, dude, I recognize. I had no idea this was her name. She was on Parks and Rec. That's the
She's a bunch of stuff. She's in comedies and a bunch of other things.
She's like, every time I see her, I'm like, is she Latina? Is she white?
Alison,
what is this woman?
And I remember, I think Liverpool did something with her. I think they sent her a jersey.
She's from Jersey, bro.
Look at that. All right.
Alamuki Township. Never heard of that. That's clearly South Jersey. Click on that. I can guarantee you. I'm gonna say it's near Atlantic City.
It is where?
Oh no, it's nowhere near it.
No, it's nowhere near Atlantic.
That is all the way west.
Is this officially Central Jersey, Alexis?
That they'll tell you it's Central, but that's very much. By the way, yo, She grew up with money.
I love this. Wild West City?
Oh, you've never heard of Wild West City?
No.
Yo, we got to do that park. And Land of Make-Believe is out there all the way to the left. Do you remember the commercials for Land of Make-Believe?
I do remember
that. Land of Make-Believe.
I do remember that. Okay.
Bro, it was one of the most depressing places on earth. Yeah.
With a name like that, bro, you would think it'd be so exciting.
It's bro, great. It's like, you know the animatronics from Chuck E. Cheese? Uh-huh. Imagine you build a whole town out of that kind of shit. That's the Land of Make-Believe.
All right. So.
Damn, bro, she grew up with money. Shouts to Allison Becker. Alamuchi, Alamuki Township.
Good for them. Right. Anyway, they make great goalkeepers out of there, bro.
Clearly, bro. Brazilians just side to side.
All right, let's wrap there because we got to go to our interviews.
We got so many interviews from this TST.
At TST,
you guys did my job.
We got a couple.
Easy.
We got a couple more. I don't know the order.
I got the order for us. We're gonna start with Joanna Lohman, former U.S. Women's National Team superstar.
Let's go. So from U.S. Women. So these interviews happened.
You're talking to millionaires.
Millionaires, right? So obviously congrats to the U.S. women on TST and La Bombonera team, the men's side.
Delaware indoor team.
Yes, yes. A ball out of control. They were really good. Congrats to the U.S. Women. So these interviews are happening before the third group stage match at TST. So you know, you'll hear the results and stuff like that or whatever. Some teams, some of the people we spoke to, some of them were already knocked out. Some were playing in games, but incredibly fun to say the least. But I just want to say all the names. So what's the order?
Yeah, so we got Joanna Lohman first. Then we got Sabrina Flores, formerly of Gotham FC.
Let's go.
She's
women's
great.
National team.
She played then for got, Wrexham, the Wrexham team.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm. The Wrexham team. Then we got our two homies from the Town FC. We got L and his
Amobi.
Name is
Amobi. Amobi.
Excuse me. Thanks.
Yes,
apologies
yes.
to Amobi.
You might know the frugal athlete,
Amobi. Oh, yeah.
He's the one who does that. He's a former MLS.
The Town is Oakland, right?
Yes. Yeah. It is the MLS Next Pro team for San Jose Earthquakes. So Amobi and L, we talked about that whole project and a lot of stuff that they're doing.
Yeah. And then finally, we got Rosie Hughes. The star of one of the stars of Welcome to Wrexham, obviously, is star for the Wrexham women's team. And we got Nicole Baxter, obviously friends of the show, another former NWSL star.
Yes, she played for Gotham.
Yeah, of course.
As well. And now currently works for EA. So we talked a little bit about that.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Yeah,
so,
you guys lined up some great interviews.
By the way, my
mic didn't work during any of these interviews, so you might not hear.
Or see him.
Yeah, I was off to the side trying to fix the microphone the whole time.
A lot of fun. So shout out to them for joining me and hanging out at TST. So let's get right to it. So first off, U.S. Women's National Team legend, Washington Spirit legend, the one of the best Mohawks in football. So we're gonna start these convos with Joanna Lohman.
Let's go.
The stars do not stop coming through. Next up, from the U.S. Women here at TST, I am joined by another legend, Joanna Lohman. Joanna, thank you so much for joining me. How are you doing?
I can be better.
Okay.
You know, we had a challenging morning.
Mm-hmm.
With the results.
I was there. It was challenging for
there.
Me as well.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, we're all dealing with the result, the heat.
Yeah.
There's a lot of challenges. So, first impressions of TST and that game. Obviously, it didn't go the way you wanted.
Yes.
But what are your first thoughts?
My first impressions, this tournament is very impressive in terms of the star power who comes out to play.
Uh-huh.
In terms
Christian
of the
Polanco
way
I played in as well, so thank you for
acknowledging
that.
You came, you conquered.
Yeah.
And then the way that they set it up in the festival nature, I think, is incredibly exciting. The changes to the rules, I hate to say this as like a pure soccer lover, it is more exciting.
Okay.
7-on-7, no offsides, the golden goal, the added time. I really think it adds some elements that is, fans just absolutely eat it up.
Yeah. This has been, as far as just, but also as a player, right? I experienced it. There is a lot. It's obviously a smaller sided field. It is the heat.
Yeah.
Dealing with, like, players behind you, much less time to make decisions.
Yeah.
Is it a big transition? Did you grow up playing small sided games? Is it something that you're used to?
I think it's a big transition because it is so strategic.
Yeah.
And the tactics matter. And if you don't train in that environment with those tactics and that strategy, it's difficult to play the game in a way where you are going to be successful.
Right.
So
right.
I think it's not often the best team on paper that wins these games. It's the best team in terms of strategy.
Right. Because on paper, y'all, you're a very, very strong squad.
We're fire.
All right. If it was a paper battle, y'all winning. Okay.
It was
all
fire
day.
This morning. We were ice.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know
no.
Saying?
It's like... all good. I mean, what's tougher? Playing at TST or playing in the congressional soccer game against congressmen and senators that you may not always agree with?
I was playing for the Democratic side. Just let that be known. It's more challenging to play at TST, as you can imagine, because the players are of higher quality. The congressional soccer match was still such a fun game.
Of course, Gloria. And it's off, but U.S. Soccer Foundation, a great organization.
Yeah, they great organization.
Very, great
it's also fun to watch professionals who are high up in their job be really bad at soccer. You know what I'm saying? Like to see them trip over
that's
themselves.
Right. It's humbling.
It's humbling.
Like, oh, yeah, you're just a normal
yeah,
dude. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like the whole idea of like sports bringing us together.
I
think it's... says a lot about a person who is willing to be bad at something when they're good at other things.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. And when we talk more about TST and just the U.S. women's team, being, you know, I was talking to Ali about this as well, just to have the coaching staff that you have, just absolute legend. I mean, we saw Mia Hamm walking by. We saw Michelle Akers walking by. People, your kids, the other players on your the opposing team were like, oh, my God, I need to get a photo with you guys.
Yeah.
What kind of advice and it just influence and inspiration can those like 99ers offer you in this tournament?
I mean, just their existence, being here, choosing to be here. And, you know, they're not getting paid to be here. They're spending their time, their energy, their resources to show up for us, to show up for, I would say, the DNA, the legacy of this team, which is it's so steeped into our bones. And it's so special to be around this group of individuals dating back from 1985, the first iteration of the team, and to people who've just recently retired, people who could be on the team one day. There's nothing like it in the world. And so for me, the off-field moments of talking to Michelle Akers, Mia Hamm, you know, I just learned that I use the same hair product as Mia Hamm's son. I'm not mad about it. Like, I feel like kind of shook by that.
Yeah, what a lovely...
Suavecito. And you won't have moments like that in, you know, outside of TST.
Right.
So I want to soak those moments up. I just want to come with a deep sense of gratitude of what they have given my generation of players, the path that they have blazed just by what they fought for. It's transformational and it's world changing.
Yeah, I mean, and it's great. I mean, again, the bonding already. I mean, you know a lot of the players, but I got to experience it as well. Those shipping containers that are locker rooms, they're pretty small. You pack all those players in. There's a lot there's so much history in these shipping containers. It's incredible.
And bad smells. I mean, a couple players walk in, they're like, it smells like sushi, fish, dirty laundry. You know, you never know.
You walk into the one of the teams that you took over the container of a team that we got knocked out. So you still got our bad smells. So apologies for leaving those.
Yeah, no worries.
Joanna Loman, thank you so much for doing this. This is so cool. Best of luck
thank
in the
you.
Next match.
Thank
I,
you.
I know y'all are going to bring the
we
heat.
We need a dub. We need a dub because we want to stay till Monday, please.
Go
I want to hang out with you guys longer.
That's right. And and you know, $1 million would be nice too. And now we are here with another, just an NWSL champion. The last couple years with Gotham. Right now you're at TST playing with Wrexham. So I played it already. Sabrina Flores, what's it been like so far?
Oh, my God. I think this is, like, the most fun I've had in my entire soccer career. I'm, like, no joke. But I think it's just because I've always been, like, a small-sided player. Like, I love the small-sided games. I love being creative. I love being technical. So it's just been a blast.
Yeah. Look, I got to play in it, and there's obviously small-sided, large-sided. I'm not good at either. there's not really, they didn't bring me, they brought me for the vibes, not really
all
for
right.
The
everyone
technical.
Everyone has a role.
Exactly,
a role.
Right? That's super important. You guys played, what's the record so far? I'm sorry, I haven't kept up with your team so
all
far.
All right, it's not something I want to really talk about.
All right, right, no.
We are 0-2, have 2 losses, but I will say that if we pull off a miracle tonight, we can still somehow make it through.
Okay.
So every game counts. But despite the record, I am pretty happy with how we've been playing. Like, I feel like we've been playing decent. We just haven't been like effective in front of goal.
Right. It's a different style, right? I mean, as a lot of the players that are playing here have played professionally. You know, there is no offside rule, but sometimes people are checking the shoulder,
making sure
that their line is still.
I once said, "Everyone up, get up," and I'm like. I was like, no, don't listen to me.
It's like the mentality has to change very quickly. And I don't know how much training you guys had. Like, we had two training sessions.
Yeah.
But how much training did you have beforehand?
We had, I think, three training sessions, but players were coming in like midweek. So right. I trained two times with the team. Some players only trained once. But the Wrexham girls, obviously, they came over from England. So they, I think, came on Monday.
Yeah.
But it's been cool. Like, there's, I think, six of us, like, Americans on it, and mixing with them has been really a cool experience.
Okay. Are there any, like, proper, like, Welsh players speaking Welsh on the team?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that's cool. I mean,
it's been awesome. Like, the experience with them has been awesome.
Yeah. I mean, it's just also Welsh. I mean, when you hear it, you're like, okay, what's going on here?
Yeah.
Like, it feels like a jarring language to hear when you're not used to hearing
it.
Yeah,
no, for real. And we've been, like, making fun of each other because, like, they never have said punt. They're like, kick the ball out of the keeper's hands. I'm like, just say punt. Or like, it's just like some terminology that we don't understand between each other, but we got a kick out of it.
Okay. And obviously because of the, the welcome to Wrexham and the popularity of the Wrexham team, has there been any like really cool, are you in like a super nice hotel because Ryan Reynolds is taking care of it? What has there been like a cool connection with Wrexham as a whole and its popularity?
I mean, I think just being part of like the Wrexham team and like the culture has been cool. Like the one thing that I noticed like from off the bat was that the men's team was so like personable with us.
Yeah,
like we've spent a lot of time with them. Like on bus rides or like at the games, they've always come to our games. We've always gone to their games. Such nice guys. So I think there's just like the whole community around it has been great. We're staying at a nice hotel. But other than that, I think the main thing is just like the vibe around it.
Right. Okay. And then I obviously have to ask, getting to win the title with Gotham. I was at San Diego. You know, I saw you there celebrating with your team. I mean, it must have been just an incredible feeling. I saw not only, you know, obviously winning title is cool, but, you know, with everything Ali was going through and the storyline was very much there, and it ended on the happiest note possible.
Yeah.
But what can you give us a quick insight of just what that title meant to you and to the team?
Oh, it was surreal. I mean, I feel like everything just came together. I don't know how to really explain it. It was just something that I don't think you can really pinpoint, but I really do think that we were all bought into like one single mission. I think Ali had a huge role in that, because obviously when you're fighting for someone, it takes the me out of the equation, and it's like you're working for the team.
Right.
So I feel like that was like a huge thing. But yeah, like I never would have imagined that happening. And we got it done. We just kept grinding throughout the season. And in that last game, I had no doubt that we would do it.
Right. Yeah, I mean, not even when the red card happened, I was terrified.
I got so nervous. I was like, I almost started to cry. Because I was like, I wasn't playing in that match. I was unrostered, but I was like in the stands. And I was like so nervous. But I knew that we would be able to do it.
Right. Yeah, it's kind of wild because the U.S. women, so Ali was playing, and they beat Angel City, the Angel City Sevens, and then Gotham just won today against Angel City as well. So it's quite a coincidence.
Yeah.
So, Sabrina, best of luck going forward.
Thank you.
Obviously, you know, it's not impossible. Even when I went into my third game, I was like, we're not out of it.
Yeah.
So best of luck.
Thank you.
To the Wrexham women, and thank you so much for joining me
I
here
appreciate
at
it.
TST.
So, I appreciate
Sabrina,
it.
Sabrina, cheers.
Thank you.
Thank you. The stars do not stop coming through. They're like, yo. They were like, these are the best rocking chairs out at TST, and we got to sit in them next to Christian Polanco of the Cooligan. I am joined by a player for the Town FC and a man who built the squad and put the team together.
Well, I'll say Amobi actually put the team together.
Okay, you know what? This man has done nothing for the team, all right?
Please say that.
He's actually held them back. Thank you for correcting me.
He's made pretty pictures.
No, but I'm joined by L. and Amobi Okugo. Guys, thank you so much for hanging out with me for a little bit.
It's a pleasure, man. Always great to see you.
Yeah, pleasure. Thank you for having us. Thank you for making time for us. You know, you've been a busy guy.
I have been a busy guy, but y'all are also busy guys. I mean, I can share my perspective as and feel free to ask me as well, because a lot of especially former pros have been a little bit like, what are you doing out here? And I'm like, oh, yo, I'm playing. And they're like, no, what are you doing out here for real? So a lot of people are skeptical. But the fact that – let's talk about TST and the fact that there is a seriousness to the – there's $1 million on the line. Mm-hmm. But there's also an aspect of like, all right, let's field some teams that – have, you know, there are players that are going to bring the technical ability, and there's going to be players that bring the vibes, like Christian Polanco, right? We all know, when nobody's pretending that I'm, you know, even though I had an opportunity for a bicycle kick that I didn't take, we'll get to that later. Nobody's expecting me to pull off that bicycle kick. But when you were constructing the team, what was the mindset in this 7v7 tournament? Like, fun vibes and ability, or is it just like, yo, we're trying to get this million best players only?
That's a great question. Fun vibes,
okay.
Definitely, and no egos for sure.
Ah,
yeah, that's a big one, especially okay. When it gets competitive. You got a group of guys that are just meeting for each other for the first time. We didn't have pre-training camps like some other teams, so fun vibes, no egos, and then obviously if you have some skill, that helps too.
Okay, somebody's tell that to the Raleigh Rebels who were yelling at us like maniacs.
Okay. Yo, calling them out straight
I'm
up like that.
I'm just saying. This doesn't happen. If we were playing in MLS or in some other league, it would be like professional. Like, oh, okay. Well, you know, we didn't appreciate some of the things that were said on the sideline. Right. But, you know, I just tried to keep it professional. You know what I mean? But I'm like, nah, bro. Why are you yelling at us?
Speaking of the team.
Why y'all yelling at us? Anyway. So the Town FC, how'd you guys do in the tournament?
We made it to the round of 16.
Okay.
Yeah, nobody expected that, right?
All right, I've been doing content and stuff, so I haven't been able to watch anything. But that's incredible, round of 16.
Yeah, we played.
Obviously, getting knocked out is not fun, and we all know that. But, I mean, really, what were the emotions like? What was the feeling like that of getting that far? And this is the first time that the Town FC participated. So obviously you guys did a great job in putting the team together. No egos and your vibes and have that technical ability. So how do you feel about the loss? And are you already thinking about next year?
Yeah, I'll let Amobi touch on the player part. But from the perspective of like the Town FC as a brand, as a team, our goal is definitely to at least get out of the group.
Sure.
You know, this is kind of a unique situation for us because our team is actually an MLS Next Pro team.
Yeah.
And happened to field a TST team. It's not our MLS Next Pro players. It's, you know, former pros.
Right, right.
So our idea was just get out the group, get some visibility for the brand, for the team, and help put the Bay Area on the map. I think we're the only Bay Area team out here. So putting the Bay on the map was especially important for us. So being able to make it to the round of 16, play 90 FC, be on, you know, on the big stage was super helpful for that.
Huge, yeah.
Mission Nani accomplished.
FC, did you see the clip of him screaming at Sasha Kleschen?
Oh, that was funny. That was so funny yesterday. Now they used to play together
they
too, right?
They used to play together. The face, we got to get the photo, but the face that Sasha's making when Nani's yelling at him, he's just like, bro, you know me. Like, why are you yelling? Again, Raleigh Rebels and Nani need to chill out. Anyway, so what, from the player perspective, I mean, getting that far, and again, are you already thinking about next year and what to improve on?
Yeah, for sure, because I came last year, and TST was a great experience. So to come with the Town and bring a good group of people together and, you know, exceed expectations across the board, it was really fun. So a lot of the guys are already talking about, like, yo, next year this, next year that. So it was fun, and, you know, we're excited. I tell people this is like Dallas Cup for big kids.
Kenny Cooper was on my team, so that's basically the same thing. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
So it's been a great event for us to, like, you know, reconnect mm-hmm. and then obviously compete at a high level. Obviously there's stakes with the $1 million, but I mean, Nani doesn't have to worry about that.
Exactly.
So it's like,
right,
why
are you here?
What you flexing for, you know? But
you screaming at Sasha like you need the million, bro.
Right.
But even getting to, I mean, obviously in your career, I'm sure you've played against very high level players and had those experiences, but to have that match against Nani in this environment is it unique in any, is it surreal? How does it it feel versus playing, you know, big players in a, you know, professional 11v11, you know, game?
Yeah, it's a little bit different because it's a little bit more laid back in the sense of, like, it's not like an MLS game where we're playing each other. But at the same time, it's still competitive. Yeah, I'm not going to be like a fanboy and be like, yo, Nani can – but it's still fun to play.
Couldn't be me.
But for someone like that to stay as fit as he is and still perform at a high level and take it seriously, that just goes to show you why he was such an elite player for all these years and continues to do so to this day.
Amazing. So, look, but congrats on getting as far as you did. Seriously,
Thank you.
You know, for people – you know, getting a sense of, like, what TST is like from the player perspective, from people building teams, content, whatever. Like, this is I keep saying it's like a high school reunion of a school that I didn't go to. but I'm honored to be here. Yeah. And, you know, even players, even Grace and me just being like, yo, the fact that you played in this tournament and we all know you're a comic is – respect to you, like, it's
you
crazy.
You earned another level of respect. You, not even gonna lie.
The wild part is, like, after we got knocked out, like, other players, I can like be in the mix and just talking about, like, tactically, what you guys do in the game, and they're like, what'd you do? And I'm like, yeah, we did what we did. And they're like, oh, cool, I might try that. I'm like, yo, you care what I think? You care what I think about what actually happens on the pitch? I'm like, bro, I'm in like cloud nine. This is an absolute dream. So, the Town FC, obviously in the Bay Area you know, playing in MLS Next Pro. So, best of luck and continue. You guys, and you guys individually do incredible work as well.
Appreciate it.
So, make
We're
sure
gonna get a collab soon or what?
We're going to collapse. I mean, this is the collapse. I mean, this is it counts.
This
right? This is a start.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
More collapse. You know, more collapse.
I'm over. You passed the audition, bro. Like, everybody's here testing you. This is the casting crew. Y'all the absolute best, man. Thank you so much for joining me, guys.
Yeah, for sure. All right. The pleasure, man.
Oh, cheers, guys.
Appreciate it.
Can I tell them what you said?
Well, I've heard it was, but yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So they came up to her and they were like, oh, you're going to do a jersey swap with Heather O'Reilly. And the whole time she's like, yeah, cool. Like, sounds good. As they're walking away, she goes, which one's Heather? I was like,
I love it.
I was like, this is a nightmare.
Who is this stranger that's aggressive? Yeah. You know what I mean?
Which one's Heather? Like, are you fucking serious?
All right.
I am still waiting for you to point her out to me, to be fair. I asked and I'm still waiting.
I'll tell you what she is.
Are we ready? Look, we want a strong start. We're just sliding right in. I am here with more players from the Wrexham team. A familiar face who I would see regularly wearing a Gotham FC uniform. Former Gotham FC player, Nicole Baxter. And also joined alongside from Wrexham, Rosie Hughes. Thank you so much for joining me.
Absolutely. Hey. My pleasure. Yeah.
Thanks for having us. Absolutely. What a shock that you're sitting right here and we just basically begged to be interviewed.
This is basically, look, we know this was the setup because we're facing where everybody walks in. There is one entrance. This is just like in a 7v7, there are tactical decisions that you have to make. We posted up facing the entrance. People will see us. They'll see my smile. I can say, hey, you got a couple minutes? Come on.
And then
down.
They're like, shit, this guy again. Like, he caught us right at a bad time.
In all fairness, I'd seen you every time I've walked in. I was confused why people with mics hadn't pulled me over yet.
Okay, great.
Yeah, did you see how quickly she was? I was like, you want to jump in? She's like, yes.
Yeah.
Like, she's been waiting
yes,
3 days.
What is it?
No, so, okay. Obviously, we're at TST. We're in Cary, North Carolina. Wrexham, that we're speaking right before your third match. These games have been quite intense, but obviously, both of you are very much used to playing 11v11 full-sided games on a proper pitch. What was the first jarring, kind of shocking moment playing the 7v7 matches? Is it the North Carolina Heat? Is it not worrying about offside? Or what's been the most, like, sort of jarring moment so far?
I think for me it's like figuring out the pace to play at, because like especially in the American League, I think it's different in the Welsh League, but like it's so transitional in the 11s, like in the NWSL, it's like back and forth. And like that was never my game anyway, but we're playing against a lot of American girls here and they're just like zoom, zoom, zoom. And I'm like, yo, I'm tired as hell. And then I'm looking at the bench and I'm like, so like you're trying to figure out how to like manage your energy and not like gas yourself out, like running up and down this field. There's only seven of you, and it's like a big ass field.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Can I curse on this?
You can. Okay. I mean, ass is not so
fuck
bad.
Yeah.
You can. Yeah. I think you can say ass on Nickelodeon.
Yeah,
all right.
That's totally fair. I was just going in easy with ass. Yeah. To feel out the vibe.
But it's interesting. Like the field is smaller.
Yeah.
But even you just said it's a big ass field.
Yeah.
But for seven players, it kind of feels like a big ass field.
It's a big ass field. I describe it as like, if you went to training one day and the coach was like, we're going to play 7v7 on half of the field, the team would be like, oh, this is for fitness.
Right, right.
It's like one of those drills where you're like, fuck.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
why are we doing the beep test
TST? Yeah, or it's like the practice where like the subs have it the next day to like get their fitness.
Right. You got
like, this is not like small-sided. This is like a little bit smaller-sided.
Got it.
But it's not super small-sided.
Yeah.
It's still pretty big.
Rosie, your perspective.
On the heat, I'd have to definitely agree. That was something we haven't been adjusted to.
Yeah.
But even like our last game last night was at 9:30 and we thought, oh, okay, it's going to be a bit cooler. It was far from any bit cooler. The only difference was the blaring sun wasn't in your eyes.
Yeah.
But the humidity was still hot.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It was still hot,
humid.
Last night.
And for me specifically, as being like a forward player, offside, I think you guys will notice you're telling me to stop being sat on the line because I'm sat like I would be on an 11-side pitch, and just the offside not spreading out back.
Okay, I can share this. I mean, as far as the information I got from my coach, and so what kind of helped? And let's just talk shop because we're all professional footballers, sort of. I think, right? And the thing that helped us a lot was putting our the goalkeeper has to be the middle center back.
Has to be good with their feet.
Good with their feet.
So important.
And make the forward kind of make a decision and have those two fullbacks, for lack of a better word, be run up. So basically, the short option, the nearer option, and then the other fullback absolutely runs.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Yeah, we ain't sending our fullbacks nowhere.
Really? Why not?
It's just like, it's so dangerous. Like, we're playing two at the back. If one takes off and we lose the ball, we're like absolutely screwed.
Yeah, yeah.
It's happened to us a few times.
Yeah, it has happened, but I can understand where you'd get that from, because if you do that,
someone else drops.
Have to drop, yeah. So I suppose you could, because I think when we watch like the men's play, I think we find it so easy watching them do it, and we're so judgmental to say why they're not doing that. And then, but like you've said, you think about our team doing it, you think, oh my god, no, we're
so
not doing that. No,
you know, you're watching other games, and you're like talking shit the whole time. No, why are they doing that? Legit, like, it looks so easy.
He should have scored
and
that.
And then you're on the field, and you're like. Obviously you can't make good decisions when you're exhausted.
And the chances that we've had, like, we shouldn't have lost the two games that we have so far. Because, you know, we've had a lot of chances.
Yeah.
But another team will do that and we're like, they're a forward, should have scored.
Yeah.
They get paid to score and they don't score.
Yeah.
We've
hit the post like 8 times. Yeah. We've missed all these sitters. We've lost 2 games. Meanwhile, we're watching other games and we're like, why are they doing that?
It's ridiculous. It sucks, you know?
Yeah. But yeah, like our strat. So like what we're finding is like it's best for us if our two center backs kind of stay put and the other players kind of move around so that we have that just
stability.
Like defensive stability.
Yeah.
That's what's proving to be important for us.
Okay.
We also, like, we're a mixture. We're half Wrexham girls, half, like, North Americans.
Mm-hmm.
So, and those are two totally different styles of play.
Yeah.
So I think it's taken us, like, we practice together, like, 2 or 3 times.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
like
a lot of
teams. This whole tournament
here,
has just been, like, a lot of, like, winging it and trying to figure it out as you go.
Same here.
I would agree. But it's been so much fun, like, meeting you girls. Like, I didn't know what to expect. But, you know, the 15 of us jarred, like, the second people came into the group, it was like we were all been together since the start.
Yeah. I mean, I was talking to Sabrina a little bit, and she had mentioned the things that are, like, maybe lost in translation, or you know, the terminology.
Yeah, I think we've been laughing at that.
And it's common with, you know, we interact with a lot of English players, right? And not necessarily Welsh. Has there been anything, Rosie, from your side, where, like, obviously calling it soccer, and that's always been a big talking point, but is there anything else that is anybody saying words that you're like, wait, what does that mean?
No, there's one that sticks out, which is when the goalkeeper kicks out of the hands.
Oh my gosh, we talked about this.
Yeah, and I don't even remember what it is now.
For some reason, our team, like, first couple days, so stuck on the rules, right? And not just the rules, the goalkeeper rules.
Right.
Meanwhile,
yeah, we
90% of our team not goalkeepers. And we, like, so much of our team discussion was like, wait, so can the goalkeeper punt it? Yeah. And then the girls from Wales are like, what's a punt? And it's like, we wasted so much time talking about the goalkeeper rules. And at some point I turned to them, I'm like, none of you are goalkeepers. Yeah. So just don't worry about it. Like, this is so unimportant.
It's so funny.
Yeah, but so punt was one of the worst.
Okay, okay, gotcha.
Yeah, like, we can't punt. Like, there are some other things but those aren't like totally detrimental for when you're playing. It's stuff like they'll turn to us and be like, do you guys say man on? Like, does it mean the same thing? So those are things where like,
do you guys call it a ball? Yeah. Like, it's like, like, just like, making sure. I don't know
probably,
why American schools are like nowadays.
So you do say man on, you don't say man on.
We do say man
you
on.
You do say man
yeah.
on.
Okay. And you guys do as well.
Yeah, we
yeah,
do.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
good. Look,
yeah.
we're like, we're yeah. so look, what an exchange of cultures.
Yeah.
So we're having such a beautiful
time. Yeah, honestly.
So we've got to face that difficulty as well as the football.
Yeah, after the first game, we're like, we got quite a few things we need to fix. Yeah. Some of the things not fixed. Totally.
It's just one of the things. Like, we all speak English. Why are we having such a hard time?
Yeah.
Well, Rosie, you are obviously a Wrexham player. Getting to be in the United States, I'm sure there's been a bit of an excitement. I mean, people love Wrexham out here, and welcome to Wrexham and the whole thing, the whole show. What's it? Does it feel a little celebrity-ish? How are you doing?
Oh yeah. Like, I mean, I don't know. You've only known me in a short period of time, and I don't know how you feel, but I know I look towards myself as a star anyway.
Okay.
So.
Okay, this
so
is
funny,
this is
dude.
The proper forward. This is
so
a proper
funny.
Striker. Okay.
Yeah. Like, so I kind of just, everyone just sees what I've seen my whole life now. And like, it's nice to be appreciated. And Let's go,
Wrexham!
Calm down. City,
hey, calm down over there.
Don't be,
we need you guys to lose.
Yeah.
Desperately.
Can't be that
if
optimistic.
If they win, we're like for sure out.
Yeah, we have to beat them otherwise.
Hope you win.
All right.
We'll get through.
So. Well, look, I wish y'all the best
Thank
of luck
so
in this
much.
Final match.
Are
this
you coming to our game?
So, unfortunately, I have to
miss. No, we'll say that again. Are you coming to
our
game?
I have a stand-up show tonight in Raleigh. Yeah, so
I
got to go.
Come.
No,
yeah.
no.
Wait, it's is it at the same time as our game?
8 o'clock? Yeah, yeah. That's why. I'm missing a bunch of matches. So,
yeah.
Maybe you can
that's
have fun. It on.
Wait, you live in New York, right?
I do.
I'm moving to Jersey City.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
I'm in North Jersey.
I want to come to some of your intellectual
shows. I will let you know. Yeah. Okay,
nice.
Cool. Send me a couple, EAFC Ultimate Team points, and we good.
Fucking deal.
And
Nicole, that's an easy deal.
Nicole works for EA.
Wait, I was telling Rosie that I work for EA, and she's like,
EA Sports.
and I was like, can I get my phone? Like, total brownie points at work. I'm like, Rosie Hughes video saying it's in the game.
Hell
like,
yeah.
Score.
That's badass.
Yeah.
Best of luck in this final match. This is just super cool. Sitting down with you guys is a dream as well.
Yeah,
but TST
fun.
Has been so cool. So thank you so much
for
hanging out with me.
Thank you. All lovely to meet you as well.
Yeah. Cheers, Rosie. Cheers.
Well
Come on.
Done on all parties, okay? What
Beautiful.
A lovely set of interviews.
I got my mic fixed right before, and then
and
I came
then,
in and you guys were all done.
It's just, I hate it when that happens.
Miguelito's like, we're done. I'm like, well, should we go get ice cream?
Great idea,
Alexis. Yeah, I'm staying with good ideas.
So shout out. To all the folks that sat with me, and you know, follow them, do everything. It was great. It was literally such a dope time. And then right before that, those interviews, especially with the Wrexham players, that was right before their game against the U.S. women.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a lot of the fun part about it was like they were just about to play each other, and they still had that like banter between each other. Hey, don't score too many. Like, take it easy.
Yeah, this seemed like a fun atmosphere for the players.
Yeah. So
that's the one thing you hear a lot. Like, no one's complaining. A lot of the players, a lot of them didn't win.
A lot
of them are talking about how great the experience was.
Yeah, so. I mean, it's interesting because, I mean, some that didn't win are also still not happy about it.
Yeah.
but it's a tournament that has all those kind of emotions. The hyper-competitive, and then, like, I'm just here to have a good time and stuff like that. So.
And the women's are the only pros to ever win this because last year was that Newtown, and this year was La Bombonera.
Yeah, sure. I mean,
there's...
There are pros in, like, depending on the level. Because the people
Top flight. Top flight
Because I played against some guys, and it's like, oh, you play in Slovenia? You're pretty good. Yeah, okay, yeah. I'm
like, what's going on in Slovenia?
Okay, I'm not knocking Slovenian football anytime soon.
You know
what,
Slovenian tough play. It's actually not that bad, guys.
Okay, so let's not, you know, there are some professionals and then some that obviously.
I meant like top flight pros.
Yeah. And it's
because Newtown had no pros at all. Okay. Because they're not a pro team. They're a semi-pro team or an amateur team.
Yeah.
And now La Bombonera.
Yeah.
Incredible.
So it was dope. So so shout out to everybody who sat down with me there at TST. Before we go, I got to do this because this is something I'm really, really excited about. Mm-hmm. We got a gift.
A gift,
which we love gifts. We call them illustrious gifts.
Illustrious gifts.
Okay. And this is from 12 Pentagons.
Which some of you might know from the very popular social media account, John Paul's Bowls.
Okay. 12 Pentagons initially
I don't think he's ever heard his name said with our accent. John's Bowls.
Hey, John's Bowls.
Hey,
you know.
John Paul's Bowls.
Okay. But the the 12 Pentagons is initially when I heard it, it sort of sounds like an Eyes Wide Shut group.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like something.
It's a bedazzled mask for half our face.
Something like kind of wild is going on.
Wow. What is this industrial bucket of lube you've sent us?
But if you know John John Paul, you know him as
OJP.
As the guy.
He makes a lot of crazy balls.
He makes balls. He makes soccer balls.
Yeah.
And he stitches them himself. Look, this is one where he made a soccer ball, a football, out of the idea was to make it look like a watermelon. So really dope, but he hand stitches it himself.
This dude gonna have arthritis.
Okay, the dedication is remarkable, and
these are functioning balls. Like he'll make designs. Not since the war. But yeah, he makes great content out of it. He's a really good filmmaker. You can see some of the way he shoots these things.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, it's really intriguing to see all the different balls. And obviously, this blew up over the last few years.
And they're functional soccer balls.
That's what I'm saying.
That you can play with. I mean, it's all sounding, if this was Cam and Mace, we'd be hitting the balls all day.
Oh, this is heavily.
But I've
always wanted to play with one of John Paul's balls.
We try to be a little bit more mature here. But it is just a really, really dope project. And if people are aware, you may have seen him on TikTok. He does not sell these. He just makes them, and they're kind of his art projects.
He's made them for, like, brands and stuff.
Exactly,
and things like that. Like, he does really cool stuff.
Generally not go for retail.
No.
But he has a limited...
Don't show it what it looks like until we show it.
Oh, okay. So, I mean, people can see sort of it already. But this is the first...
You want to open it?
Yeah. This is the first ever that is available for retail. And it is a custom.
Here, Christian, go full screen. Get off the.
Yeah. So here goes. This is a custom John Paul ball.
Oh, it smells like leather.
That he made. There are only 1,000 that exist.
That's crazy.
And he sent one of them to us.
Look at this. We have a little display.
A little display.
Let's see what the letter says. You're one of the first to receive the original 92, the first ball I made and truly loved. Most footballs don't look like this. I'm impractical, but practically was never the goal. But practicality was never the goal. We sourced the finest Italian leather, sparing no expense. Each kickabout will leave its mark, developing a beautiful patina over time. 12 pentagons and 80 hexagons are hand-stitched to form the original 92. Your VIP ball is uniquely labeled. For your upcoming drop, 1,000 individually numbered balls will be available for their upcoming drop. How cool is that? When he started making balls as a hobby, he never imagined it would lead to launching 12 Pentagons. Thank you for supporting this project. We look forward to seeing you make your mark on the original 92. So as you play with it, it'll start to get marked up, and that's the point.
Yeah, dude. This is wild. This is like one of the soccer balls you pick in FIFA. Do you know what I mean? Like the older one. You're like, oh, let me play this old-timey.
You ever go to like on the tour of like a Camp Nou and they have like the original ball they score with?
Yeah,
like,
man.
Why are you kicking these beach or these medicine balls? This kind of has that look to it.
So you can go to, what is it, 12p.com. And John did not pay us to do this, not necessarily
not
an ad or anything. This is just like we are fans of this guy, and I've been following him for like a year, and seeing some of the incredible work that he does. And the fact that he sent us, when he like sent us a message like, yo, I want to send you a ball. I'm like, John Paul, you're sending us a ball?
That's crazy.
Normally, I would try to slide into DMs asking for a pick of the balls.
Damn,
but no.
Let me see a picture.
No, I'm going to send them right to
Actually,
you.
Actually, this reminds me, you know Brendan Sagalum?
Yeah.
There was a girl who was
He's a comedian, by the way.
He's a degenerate comedian. There was a girl who was a big
fan. Put him on blast like that.
No, he knows. He's pretty proud of it. There was a girl who gave a comic her phone and was like, take a lot of pictures. And she's like, of what? She goes, anything. And she said it like, and I mean anything.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was like, yo, wouldn't it be hilarious if you took a picture of just your balls?
Right.
Just take a picture of just your balls. So he did it. And then we were like, wait, that might not be cool. So we deleted it. He sent it to himself and deleted it, right? And then later she came back to pick up the phone. And we were like, haha, he put a picture of just his balls. She's like, oh, I would love that photo. So he sent her back the photo of just his balls. And let me tell you something, there's no 12P about it, you know?
Okay.
There's usually a midnight pee somewhere around there.
Hilarious. All right. So, I mean, a smell is
just
like... Yeah,
it smells like real leather.
Yeah, dude. This is so cool. This is just so dope. So thank you, John Paul, for sending those.
We should make a purse out of this and sell it.
And I guess, again, they're very, very limited. So go get one if you are interested. But super, super cool.
Are you going to use it?
I'm going to do the next time we have a guest.
Yep, that's what I was going to suggest.
I'm going to do post-show keepy-uppies with John Paul's ball.
Look at that.
So so be on the lookout for
that. Oh, dude, so John Paul, you got to come on the show so you can do the post-show
keepy-uppies. I invited him already.
Oh, let's go.
So let's go. All right. So so thank you, John, for sending these over. And thank you, everybody, for tuning in. And, again, shout out to everybody for all the support. Excited about the future of the Cooligans.
Yeah.
The whole Yahoo stuff is wild, and a lot to look forward to.
Thank you for everyone who sent wonderful messages after we posted this stuff. It's that recharges my battery every time.
100%, man. So thank you everybody for the love. We are grateful, and again, we got a couple more episodes here with Miguelito. We're gonna make the most of it. We still have a lot.
We gotta get you back in stew.
Yeah,
I'm coming back. I'll be back in New York in 2 weeks, so we'll be back together then.
Let's go. Okay, so we can we'll get drunk on camera.
Hey.
Let's go. Have fun together. All right, everybody, thank you again for tuning in. Make sure you follow, subscribe to the YouTube channel, hit follow everywhere at Soccer Cooligans, wherever you like. Follow Yahoo Sports as well.
Follow Yahoo Sports, follow One Football, use One Football. It's a great app.
Yeah, we're doing a bunch of stuff there. So we'll have more details. We also have another No Cap Recap coming out. We're going to talk about in more detail about the move and a lot of things that our community can expect. So patreon.com/soccercooligans if you want to get in on that. There is a new episode already available about the Champions League. The final. Champions League final and TST. You get to hear all the behind the scenes of how that went. So that's available now. So go get that. And then we'll see you on, what's today?
Today's the 13th.
Today's Thursday, but we'll be back on Monday.
We'll be back on Monday with Brandon. Noonie. Episode. All right. So we'll see you then, everybody. Take care.
Love you guys.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.